Morning. Thank you, everybody, for coming. Especially some new faces here. Not usually that people daven at the early minyan and come to hear a shir. So yasher koyach. This morning's shir is really a story. And it's, you know, they say true stories are better than fiction, and you couldn't make this up. Just a few weeks ago, there was a major jewel heist. Some of you might know the story. In Germany, a city called Saxony, so there's a castle. Yes, there still exists some castles in the world. This is called the Dresden Castle. And this castle has a collection of jewels, artifacts, that dates back to the 1700s. And on display are all types of amazing things going back centuries. And a couple burglars, thieves, came up with an amazing plot. This is what they did. One night, first they went, I saw a map, probably a couple miles away from the castle. They knew where the circuit breakers, the electrical boxes were, which controlled the castle. They bombed out, they caused a fire by those electrical circuits, cutting off the power to the castle. They quickly drove from the circuit boxes to the castle. With the electricity gone, the alarm system of the castle, as well as the power in the castle, was out. They quickly were able to get inside. There were guards on duty, but you could picture the mayhem. It's Makas Choshech. There's nothing there. With axes and sledgehammers, they made their way to the Green Vault. The Green Vault had some of the most amazing jewels there. They knew exactly where to go. You see these floors, I saw a video, gorgeous, like diamond-shaped floors. The whole place looked amazing, from a different era. And they smashed, all it took was one display case, and looted that case. They got back into their Audi, sped away. By the time the police found them, it was few minutes later. It wasn't such a slow response, it was a pretty quick response. They burnt their car, their getaway car, already up to a next car, and as of today, about 3 weeks later, German police, the Secret Service, whatever they have there, are still baffled. They have no clue where these diamonds are. What did they steal? All different pieces. One of the pieces, which to me was quite amazing, they stole a sword, right? I don't know if you've seen swords recently. They've, I guess, been phased out of battle over the centuries. But they had a huge sword where the handle of the sword was totally covered with diamonds. Right, the great king would have his sword, you know, on hand ever for a battle, a sword fight. And the handle is just covered with diamonds. That's how old, that's how from a different era, that's how unique these things were. The price tag, which was estimated, this theft brought about, was over $1 billion. One of the biggest...
No insurance.
That's my next bet. You sound like an insurance agent. They stole it. It's estimated at least $1.1 billion. Some people say, for sure, the historical value, but even regular value of these items are priceless. And Germans didn't get any insurance policy on it because they did not insure these jewels. They made a cheshbon, which is, seems like it's true in a lot of these museums. Not sure it's a smart fact to give out. But the stuff is not insured because the premiums to pay are too high. And if these things are taken, it's priceless. No way you could get it back anyway. They were lucky. The greatest piece, the actual green diamond, was not in that showcase where it usually was. It was in New York in some museum on loan. So that they were lucky it was still there. But here you had a couple of thieves that made off with jewels estimated at over $1.1 billion. What do you think these guys are going to do next? They're going to open a museum and show off their collection? Usually not. What they're obviously going to do is try to sell the pieces. Ideally, as is, because that's the great value. You know, I remember a few years ago after the Super Bowl. So somebody walked off with Tom Brady's Super Bowl jersey. So the whole caper where to find it, eventually they tracked it down. But yeah, when the news reports came out, who stole it, some guy got into the locker room. You know, it was displayed in somebody's house. That's how they knew about it. Like, these stolen goods, people buy them. There's a market. They may not be advertising in the back of the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, but there's a market. And if you want stolen goods, you could buy stolen goods. And that's the topic that I would like to talk about today, buying stolen goods. I think in general, it's really a perfect topic for this week's Parsha. We have Yaakov Avinu. Parshas Vayetze is really where the Torah starts introducing us really to who Yaakov was. And you see Yaakov's life, you see how he survived the house of Lavan. Yaakov Avinu says towards the end of the Parsha, he tells his wives, with all my strength, every fiber of my being, I gave to the job. I worked for your father. Your father tricked me. He constantly switched the terms 10 times, 100 times. Hashem protected me, and I didn't lose out from it. Yaakov Avinu is the epitome of MS, the epitome of doing things honestly. That was Yaakov's MO. That's how he operated. And anytime we talk about these halachas, about doing business honestly, we have who to look to. Yaakov Avinu, whose midah was the midah of MS, titan MS Yaakov. What's the right thing to do? Now you might say, look, Rabbi, I don't plan on buying a stolen 17th century sword. That's not my cup of tea. That's not what I'm looking to put over my fireplace. So this is not really nogea me. So I just have one word for you. It's called Amazon. I don't mean the jungle. Going back centuries. But as we all know, the world has tremendously evolved over the past couple of decades. Really, it seems to change decades every other year. so quick, and so much of the world just evolves. We just had on the American calendar the infamous Black Friday, followed by a Cyber Monday. Really, I would like to see the stats. Which one does more business? Even the Black Friday, a lot of times it's sales you could access online. The amount of sales, Pashat, of online merchandise is off the charts. Growing and growing and growing and growing. And on these marketplaces, it's relatively much easier to access stolen goods. And this is especially relevant to Jewish people. The stats, the official, definitely the unofficial, the amount of Jewish businesses, which are secondary sellers, which are selling on the Amazon marketplace, it's full and full of Jews. Everywhere you turn. It's well known in the world of Amazon that there are Jews all over. The New York Times had a whole story about this not too long ago. Of how so much of these Amazon sellers are Jewish. And all types of Jews. You could have Hasidim, Haredi women. It's the perfect marketplace. You don't have to rent a store. You don't have to be there. You can make your own hours. You can work from home. Get a warehouse in Border Park. There's a huge buildings that are just Amazon. And they're doing business. They're selling things. Where do they get their merchandise? So I guess if, you know, you go back 50 years ago, if you wanted to get stolen goods, how would you get it? You'd have to meet somebody late at night in a dark alleyway on the bad side of town. And, you know, you have to know the language. You got the goods. You have to have the briefcase with all the cash. And that's how you bought your stolen goods. Nowadays, you sit at home, click on your computer, find a site, and buy it. It's so much easier. Shady business is no longer limited to alleyways in the middle of the night. It's on a bright computer screen in the middle of the day. And there's so many schemes, there's so many things. I'll tell you two quick stories before we start digging into these halachas. One story I came across, the FBI recently busted a scam within Amazon itself. Amazon drivers, who they would know, one of the easiest ways to steal things is you just go to someone's porch and snatch his packages. Okay, so Amazon being customer friendly, okay, call them up, maybe you get a new one. But someone can just go, very clear theft. Nowadays, those door cameras are supposed to beat that. But you could just steal a package off someone's doorstep. So the FBI found one city that the Amazon drivers themselves were involved in the scheme. Whether they themselves or they notified others, the package was delivered. Someone else or they themselves would come and snatch it away. And then they would go and flip it and sell it again on Amazon. It's a marketplace. It's so easy. You don't even have to do the packaging. Just have to put on a new label. It's brilliant. What happens if you buy that stuff? I got a good deal. Yeah, the entire package is profit. Of course they'll give you a good deal. How are you able to buy so many things cheap? You have to ask yourself why, how? Everyone else is charging this amount, but I got a great deal. I got this guy, you know, call me Saul Meyer. You know, I got some guy. You know, he gets me a good deal. How'd he get it? Whatever, you know, he knows somebody. Who does he know? Oh, the Amazon drivers. Another case, somebody went and bought an expensive bike on eBay for like half the price. Okay? So, went, got his bike, all excited, such an amazing deal, wow, he's so lucky. And, you know, he's fine-tuning his bike, getting ready for his first ride, and he notices a very strange spot under the seat, somewhere on the sidebar. He didn't at first notice. There's like a tag there with a name, with owner information on it. Scratching his head, wait, that's not the name of the guy I bought it from on eBay. Phone number. So being an honest person, honest Gentile, he goes and calls up the person. He's like, funny, I just bought a bike on eBay. I happen to find your name over there. You got my stolen bike. Looked into the law, gave the guy back his bike. He's out of bike. He actually spoke to the police. They said, try getting your money back from eBay. Not so easy.
I didn't know that the guy was the owner.
Oh, the proof.
He was just reselling his bike over.
Okay.
I don't know where this ends.
Yes, the halacha does ask your question. How do you know that he was the owner that got stolen from? Okay. We'll see. They talk about that. But these are all occurrences that can happen to anyone. It can happen to us. Without knowing it, we could buy stolen merchandise online. We could, if we're selling things, it could be our source of our merchandise is shady. So what's the halacha? What should one do with these things? So I think I would like to first begin with the Shulchan Aruch, and then I'll go backwards to the Gemaras. Shulchan Aruch is on the middle of your pages. This is Simen Shin Nun Vav. We'll start with Sif Aleph. Shulchan Aruch writes, Aser Liknos Mehaganav Achefet Shaganav. It is prohibited for one to buy from a ganav the object that he stole. 100% aser. No, stolen. No, you cannot buy stolen goods. Period. 100% aser. The avon gadol, and it's a big avera. Why is it a big avera? Shari machzik idei ovri avera. Who's making the profit? Who are you giving the money to? You're giving the money to a ganav. Avon gadolhu. You're supporting a ganav. But more than that, the gom lo laganav gnevos acheros. You're supporting his business. Now he's going to steal more. He just stole that object. And then he resold it to you. You've only encouraged him to continue doing his business, to continue doing his stealing. If these guys who ripped off the jewels in Germany, if no one's going to buy the loot of the Green Vault, they ain't going to do it again. But the Teretz is, there's a market. You could resell Tom Brady's Super Bowl jersey. You could resell a 17th century sword. There's a market. So you are an accomplice in that sense. If you wouldn't do that, if you wouldn't buy from him, he wouldn't steal. He'd do something else. Ramah adds, "V'chein aser l'seyei l'ganov b'shum davar k'dei sh'yignov." It's also prohibited for a person to assist the ganov in helping him steal. Right? If you're the delivery company, right? You do logistics. So I'm doing logistics for secondhand Amazon sales, which are those boxes that the Amazon truck driver stole. I'm helping him deliver them, because the other drivers are busy stealing the packages, so he has to hire a new fleet. Right? So that's misayea. You're processing the credit cards of a company that sells stolen goods. That's misayea. Anytime you're involved in a process with the ganav, you didn't steal anything. You're just allowing him, helping him to sell it. That's usher.
You're getting into an Aved Sof situation where the only way you could ever buy something is by seeing the original production receipts and purchase receipts from every single person along the entire chain of command.
So hold on. So you're saying, Rabbi, you're making everything in the world usher. We're always buying stolen goods. Okay, so we'll see. We're going to talk about that in a moment. What exactly qualifies? Now, you look here on the Sma, who explains this halach on the Shulchan Aruch. He brings an amazing line in the Gemara here in Kedushin. The Gemara in Kedushin is Nevav and Mabez. The Gemara says, Mashal d'amri inchi, a mashal, a parable that people say, well, akva ganav elochura ganav. Interesting idea, if you like cat and mouse. Who steals the cheese? Your cute little mouse. I guess if it looks like Mickey, right? Tom and Jerry. But a mouse goes and steals the cheese. But the only way the mouse gets away with it is by going into that little hole. So the Gemara says, it's not just the mouse that steals the cheese. It's the hole that steals the cheese. The buyer, the people who help assist someone steal, they're accomplices with him. They can't do it by themselves. Nobody steals in a vacuum. If you're buying stolen goods, lo akba ganav elochura ganav. The Gemara's language is strong. It's not really the mouse that's stealing. Practically, it is. He took the cheese, he ate the cheese. But you, the hole that he can just get back into, or the buyer, which allows him to flip the goods, that's the real Geneva. And we're responsible for that.
You can go one step further and say you are responsible. You've allowed that hole to be there in your house. You have to put a piece of wood over it.
Yeah, yeah.
That supports my claim.
What? It's so amazing, I think, that line from the Gemara. You know, average from Blair's, and I'm not going to steal. We're not, you know, I'll tell you one thing. Even though it was against Germany, you know, I would bet, I'll put money down, that I shouldn't bet either. That's also a type of Ganeva. But I would put money down. The jewel thieves, I highly doubt, are Jewish. Come on. It's not usually a Jewish profession.
It's not our type of crime.
Yeah, that's not our thing. But buying stolen goods? I got a Metziah. It's not Ganeva, it's a Metziah. Business. I got a great deal. How did you get a great deal? A little shady. Got to be careful. Now, one more thing.
All jesting aside, we had a terrible crime last week. 4 people were shot down. A truck was stolen. A jewelry store.
Right.
Major crime.
Yeah. Yes. The Gemara in Baba Kama, Kuf Yates, the middle of the page, says, Kol gozos chaveru shavapruta ki ilo notin nishmasa. Someone steals even a shavapruta. Simple amount, right? Right, we learned this here. What's a shavapruta? Not so much. Someone goes and steals even a shavapruta. The halacha is ki ilo notin nishmasa mimeno. It's as if you killed a guy. You took his neshama. Right? Talk of this coming week's parsha. Yaakov Avinu goes back to go get pachim ketanim. You know, any money that a person has, a perspective, that's my money. That's my thing. And you take something away, you steal something, even relatively small, from another person, that hurts. It bothers people. People don't want their thing to be stolen. I saw another story. Wild story. Woman was on a plane. And, okay, ready for takeoff, please put away. So she had a computer there, MacBook. So instead of, she didn't like put it up on top, you know, for takeoff, whatever, she put on a pretty empty flight, she put on the seat next to her. And the plane accelerates, takes off, and within the takeoff, you know, some bumps, and her MacBook went flying, sliding behind her as the plane's going up. Okay, there weren't so many other people on the plane. She turned around and figured it was okay right over there. As soon as the fasten seatbelt sign goes off, she goes and looks. Her MacBook's not there. There were not so many people on the plane. There was basically one person sitting behind her, and the rest, she was towards the back of the plane. There's one person behind her. The guy jacked her MacBook. He stole it. The feeling, the woman was like, that's, you know, and then she like sort of says something to him, this. The guy says, oh. She sort of like asked him if he could open his bag. I don't know. Opened it, and he saw Taka. She saw the MacBook in there. To try to grab it. That's my MacBook. Can't take it. And the stewardess made a whole thing. Oh, we can't pass in such shilohs on the plane. We have to wait till you land. We'll go to the cops. The woman felt so violated. It wasn't the amount of money that the person took. It's they took their MacBook. There was a whole gansa maisa. Yeah, at the end, FBI got there. There was FBI, plainclothes guys never realized they're on the plane around the airport. And at the last moment, she was able to prove that it was hers, and they handcuffed and took away this guy.
It was probably a password.
No, so what happened was he changed everything. The guy on the plane, from the time this thing happened till they landed, was able to redo all her system. And the only way she could be able to, she had some like lips, you know, some like, you know, stain on it, nail polish. And, but they didn't view that as Rai Machrasas, you know, different dinim. And it was only with the serial number. She first didn't have the right serial number. So they didn't give it to her. But crazy. But that's notel nishmaso. When you take something from somebody else, you're killing them, you're stealing their thing. The Gemara goes further, quotes all these different psukim in Yirmiyah, psukim in Shmuel Aleph. So the Gemara says, why didn't you quote all these psukim about how bad Geneva is? So in the third wide line, the Gemara says, Maiva Omer, why do you need all these psukim? So the Gemara says, V'chitema nefesh di day. Look, when you steal, you hurt that person, you hurt that lady, that you stole her thing. Aval nefesh banav v'nosav lo. Didn't affect their family. Tashma basar benav benosav. That's why I need a second pasuk to teach you. It hurts the family too. Bothers everyone. That's what, in case you steal them straight out. In halacha, there's something called a chamsin. Chamsin is somebody who pays money for the object. Just the person didn't really want to sell it. You can have these cases. You know, people straight up. You meant to sell something. You listed the wrong product. You really meant to sell product B, but mistakenly listed product A. The Torah would say, there's an element that's called of a chamsa. The person didn't really want to sell that thing. And either gave money for it, that's still aser. So that's why I have another pasuk. Listen to this. When is the geneva? When I actively go and take something. I will grumble low, but if I cause something, that's not geneva. Tashma, that's why we have the pasuk. El shov ol beis adamim asher himas hagivonim. So the Gemara darshins, v'chi heichem etzinu shaharek shol as a gavonim. Where do we find that shol killed the gavonim? Shol never actively killed the gavonim. Why is the pasuk saying that he's responsible? El mitoch shaharag nov ira kohanim. Shol wiped out the city of Nov, the city of Kohanim. Shahayim maspikel hamayim amazon. This city of Nov was supporting the gavonim. Ma'alov akasav kilo hargam. The Torah considers it as if Shol killed the gavonim. You killed the people who are supporting the gavonim. It's as if you stole from the gavonim. You're responsible for the fact they don't have their water anymore. Even a grumma, even a totally indirect, I did this, I didn't do that. But one's responsible. It's scary because the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch that we just quoted before, when it comes to buying stolen goods, says you're gorim him to continue to steal. When you buy stolen goods, you on some level, okay, maybe it's not the same level by Shul, maybe that's more direct, but it's still called a grumma. You're responsible for grumma when it comes to geneva. Now, so these are the halachas we see. It's a big avera. You're causing other people to sin. Or achver ganav, or chura ganav. It's not the mice. It's the whole. And if you steal stolen, if you buy stolen goods, you're an accomplice. You're a garib. For that reason, let's go back to the first Gemara, the Gemara Baba Kama Kuf Yud Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, "Ein lochim min aroim tzemer v'cholov v'gdiyim." You shouldn't buy from shepherds wool, milk, and young sheep. Lo mishomrei peros eitzim peros, and watchmen who are watching over orchards, don't buy from them wood or fruits. What's the reasoning behind this? So Rashi says, the ikal meimar shema ganvu mitzono shel bal habayis hamos alehem. There's a fear, there's a suspicion. Maybe they stole from the bal habayis. Maybe they stole from them. We're not saying, as Rashi spells out the farish, the halach is not in a case of where they definitely stole. That's pashut. The halach is true even in a case of where they possibly stole. Right? Ein lochim in the Amazon drivers. You can't buy things from people who work as drivers for Amazon.
Especially out the back of the truck.
Right?
Fell off the truck, right.
Don't buy from people who are suspected of stealing. Even if it's a Shema.
You're saying not suspected. You're saying
right.
Maybe there's a
possibility. Right.
You're making my case even stronger. We're not close to the whole world for everything.
Now, the Mishnah continues. Look, other cases, Lochim and Hanashim, Klit Samar, Behuda, Klit Pishim, Agalos. But you could buy from women, because there we assume, L'das Ba'aleim Hu, they have rights, their husband gave them the rights to sell it, and not doing it on their own. You have to know the case. Right, you should not buy from the back of a truck of an Amazon driver that is clearly suspected of Geneva. But even someone who's a sort of a little bit in between. You know, this guy says, you know, I get good deals on suits. Right, in the back of the truck. Oh boy, I remember that story.
A scandal here.
Right?
Every year is
A suit scandal.
Yeah.
I remember some back in New York. Some institution invested a lot of money in buying suits. And they had someone be a buyer for them to look at suits. And Itaka got it, you know. Some guy showed him suits. Classic bait and switch. He showed them one thing, gave them something else. You know, a lot of shady business going on. And if you think you're buying from somebody who's not legit, you can't do it. That's these mishnayos. Somebody told me a story. They saw I was doing this topic. He's like, I got a good story for you. He said, when he was learning in Eretz Yisrael, it's going back years ago, so he always liked a good deal. So he'd sometimes find his way to the Arab Shuk. And lo and behold, the Arab Shuk, they were selling NBD CDs, put in the vernacular. They were selling Shweki CDs in the Arab Shuk. So he was wondering, can I buy from these guys? Or, Kabit, Geneva, Kabit stolen. So he asked the Shaila, we'll get to in a moment. The psak he got was a little shady psak. I'll get back to that, right? There can be shady psak him too. To know who to ask. But, usually the best place to purchase a Shweki CD is not in the Arab Shuk. You gotta wonder how they ended up with it.
You can have other reasons why not to buy it from the Arab Shuk.
Correct, yes. There
what
are.
Doing with that money?
Now, so I think we have clear the halakha that one has to be careful not to be involved in buying stolen goods, not to be assisting a business, an individual who is selling stolen goods. That's all included in these Yisurim. But what happens? You bought it. You got something, and you realize afterwards, what you got was stolen. Really like the guy who bought that bike on eBay. So if you look at the back of your sheets, we'll go through some halachas. The Aruch HaShulchan lays it out very clearly here in the right paragraph on top. Hakona chepetz meganov. If you buy an object from a ganov, and I saw brought down, does not matter if the ganov is Jewish or the ganov is Gentile. Either way, these halachas apply. Hakona chepetz meganov im kana la'achar yish. If you bought it after the time where you could assume that the person who was stolen from gave up hope. We know in halacha, it comes up really in two big areas. Most people are familiar with the concept of yish by an aveda. If you find a lost object, if it was after the time that it's assumed that the owner gave up hope, one would be allowed to keep it. That's the concept of yish by aveda. But the concept of yish also works by a stolen object. You are allowed to keep a stolen object, providing we get all the conditions, after the point when the owner gave up hope. Yish is a factor when it comes to a stolen object too. So if it's after the point that the owner gave up hope, and secondly, kana b'yish v'shini rishus mirishus aganov l'rishuso. There also has to be a change of location. You need two things. For an aveda, you just need one aspect. The owner to be miyayish. If the owner is miyayish, you can keep it. But for geneva, there you need two aspects. You need yish, the owner to give up hope, and for it to change where it is, shini rishos. So from the object going from the ganov's property to your property, that'll be yish and shini rishos, and one would be allowed to keep it. Yes.
That can happen real fast now.
Yes. Yes. Well, depends how fast. I'll get to that in a moment.
Well, depends,
but yes.
Depends how big the place is.
Yes.
Really.
Right? This factor is a big deal. Right? You bought something. You bought it in good faith. You didn't think you were buying a stolen good. You honestly thought you're getting a Mitzia. Then you get the bike, and then you notice, oh no, someone's name on it. Before I get to Dina de Machlus Adina, which is something to talk about, but the halacha is, if there's Yish and Shina Rishos, then you would be allowed to keep it. You bought it, you could keep it. I'm skipping a couple lines. Let's say we don't know for sure that the owner gave up hope. We don't know. We say in most cases, the default setting is people give up hope. By a normal case, your bike gets stolen from your backyard right here in North Miami Beach. So people give up hope. You're going to ride around in your car checking out every person's bike. Hey, that's my bike. You know, I feel bad. I remember during Hurricane Irma, you know, a lot of people in this neighborhood packed out of town. I was driving around the streets. And I saw somebody, I'm not going to describe him, but use your imagination. I saw somebody riding with a bicycle. I knew it was not his bicycle. People left things, you know, and put it away. This. Yeah. But we assume Stam Geneva is Yish Bailim. By a Stam case of Geneva, people give up hope. And even if you don't know that the person gave up hope, there's an assumption you can have. But here's a big deal. However, Vim Haganav Akum, Lohavistama Yish Bailim. But it's not so simple where you have Goyim involved in the process. It's taken from a guy that their yish works. So that's not so simple. Now that's all if a person buys this object on Amazon after a point of where we know or we can assume that the owner gave up hope. However, what happens if you bought it Vimkana Kodim Yish? You bought it before Yish. She additional nice bayam. You know the owners haven't given up hope yet. I would assume, going back to our original case, the government, the first few days after their jewels were stolen, didn't give up hope yet. They still have faith that the Secret Service is going to track down the bandits who walked away with $1 billion worth of stuff. Come on, how could you hide $1 billion worth of stuff? At that point, they weren't miyayish yet. What happens if you get your hands on it then? So then the Torah rule would be that you have to return the object to the owner below damin, without getting reimbursed your money. You, the buyer, would have to go back and find the ganav and get your money from him. If I purchase stolen goods before the point of yish, I have a chiyuv to return that back. Just like a ganav has to return a stolen object, someone who buys from a ganav would also have to return a stolen object. To the extent I have to return the stolen object without being reimbursed by the original owner. It's not the original owner, midoraisa, it's not the original owner's responsibility to pay me, look, I just spent thousands of dollars to get this piece. It's not the owner of the object's responsibility to give you back any money. You got ripped off by the ganav. You could go to the ganav and get your money back. But you have an obligation to return that stolen object to the owner. And then you have to fend for yourself to get your money back from the ganav. That is the Torah did.
We're still encouraging you now.
Why?
Because the faster you get it back from the ganav, right? So So, which is the only way to get it back, really, because the longer it takes, the more difficult it's going to become to actually get it, right? So now you have to, now you got to play cat and mouse again to get him. So you're still encouraging it.
So you're saying, I'll take your step further. It's interesting. There's the Torah's din is you have to return a stolen object. For the record, what I quickly found in American law, I believe, is if you have stolen goods, you have an obligation to return it. If
yes.
It's over, right?
You're out the money.
Yeah. And depending on the value of it, you know, we'll see how strong of a crime it is. Yes.
Skip all the way to the end on this one, Kuda, you're on a more cosmic level, a more theological level, you're giving up however much the mammonus is on a gashmiistic level, you're giving that small loss up for the giant scar on a ruchnius level.
Okay, you're saying nice encouragement. You want to add is, look, a person who gives back a stolen object, he's bettering society. He's giving back the object to the owner. Remember the Gemara we quoted before, the guy who feels that he killed him. Noto nafsho, he hurts his whole family and all that. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing for you to give it back. But end of the day, you're still out your money.
And you're still encouraging them.
So a fascinating idea is way back when, the Chachamim made over here a takana. They made an enactment, a Torah law which stands al hayom. It's called Takanas Hashuk. Our Chazal felt if the halacha would stop here, that if any time I bought an object, it turned out to be stolen. And again, I purchased it hot, fresh. Right? Hot is pun intended. Right? I purchased it right after it was stolen. The owner was a miyayish. Halacha is, I have to return it. I have to return it. I'm never going to see my money again. The ganav is sitting in the Caribbean. He's nowhere to be found. I'm never going to see my money again. Chazal realized how commerce works. You just killed business. Because how am I ever going to buy from people? Don't I have to be afraid that they stole? And if they stole, I'm going to be out my money. So look what Chazal Masakin, pro buyer. Look at that. It's fascinating how the rabbis, to be a rabbi, you got to be holding a business. Not just to make side money. You got to be holding a business for halacha. Chazal made a din of Takanas Hashuk that the buyer could go back to the owner and get his money from him. The only time I, the buyer, have to return the object is with you reimbursing me. Major, major halacha. Midoraisa, the guy who got his object stolen does not have to reimburse. It's the ganav's responsibility. He's the mazik. I'm the guy who got stolen from. I did nothing wrong. But the Torah says, this is what we have to do. You're not a seller, you're not in business, but there we would say this line, this is for the betterment of society. No one's going to be able to buy goods. Everyone's going to have to be afraid they're buying stolen things. So we're going to make it, and we're going to give back the money. Amazing thing. I quickly looked into it. It definitely seems within eBay, they're not like that. They do not give back the money so easily. Amazon might be a little bit bigger, but what I saw reading different things is over the past few years, Amazon has gotten more pro-buyer. Part of the reason is they're so big, they can afford to, they want good customer ratings. But it's a major move. The rabbis made this major move years ago. We have to be pro-buyer, because if we're not protecting the buyer, no one's going to do business, no one's going to do commerce. People always have the fear that they're buying stolen goods. So the Torah halacha is the original owner would have to pay the person when he was returning the lost object. And then the owner will get the money from the ganav. Huh?
That still does not help with the ganav.
Yeah, yeah.
Banks do that to a certain extent to this day. I think that's the rationale behind it. I mean, it's slightly different to a credit card fraud. Usually, the bank or the credit card company will stand behind the theft, right? Now, they could basically say, I don't know.
Right, that's a good point.
Stole your card and charge something. That's got nothing to do with us. That's your problem.
Right.
But they understand that.
That's part of commerce.
It would never work.
No one would use credit cards with no protection. Perfect example.
They're willing to take that loss.
Yes.
About
what?
About that the original owner does not have to.
Yes.
So this. Where are we at?
It's a very, very interesting point. This is a case of Chazal are really changing the original Torah law. The original Torah law is that owner takes his object back that the buyer is giving to him. I bought your stolen object. The owner says, thank you very much. What a wonderful mitzvah. Zayge benched. He doesn't have to see him again. He's off. But Chachamim were misak in a din of Takanas Hashuk that one would be allowed that the buyer, when he gives it back, is also entitled to money. Now, I have to qualify. There are qualifications. Okay, one qualification is what you just said. Dina d'malchus adina. If the secular law says that you have to give it back, then there is a concept, halacha, dina d'malchus adina. We have to follow secular law. Even if you wouldn't be reimbursed, dina d'malchus adina. This is a tricky, okay. We should take it to the Beis Din. That's going to be different. But yes, if the American law is, if you purchase stolen goods, automatically have to return it regardless of whether the guy will pay you?
Never acquire good title and stolen goods. Period. That's the law. Like in 50 states.
Okay. is that so, even if it's in the ordinary course of commerce? I think if you're selling something out of your way, what if you buy stuff in a normal way? You know, so
you're talking store. About a bona fide purchaser for that. And then generally, like with personal property, if you're buying it at a deep discount, then are you a bona fide purchaser for value?
But if you buy
$50,000 Rolex for $2,000, you're not a bona fide purchaser at all.
What if you buy it in the department store and stole it?
So this is excellent, right? Baruch Hashem, I have wonderful legal minds here debating verse, section, nice American law. Are there differences whether you're buying stolen goods in a shady way or buying stolen goods in a discounting store? Now I'll show you, and Halacha also talks about that. One second. The Halacha qualifies. When do we say Takanas Hashuk? So you need a few qualifications. One is, you can't buy from somebody, the Aruch HaShulchan mentions this at the end, you can't buy from somebody who is a clear ganav. If you buy from someone who's a clear ganav, or again, somebody that looks very shady, you can't claim Takanas Hashuk and expect your money back. It's only in the case of where I did my due diligence, it looks like an honorable, normal sale, and I found that I got duped. So in that case, then you're entitled to pay the Torah, the Takana, to your money back. Also, it's interesting, it has to be that you paid already in full. I had to pay for the object, that stolen object which I bought, in full. If you paid in credit, pay with a credit card, not so simple. You would have to come to Shuk where the owner has to give it back to you. And credit cards, as we said, is a whole partial of Bifnei Atzma. Yes. Yes.
If I go to Best Buy and I buy an open box item that they give me 30-day warranty, really, not return, but I can bring it in and get fixed if I find the problem. why would I ever suspect that that's secondhand goods when I'm in such
a record? Maybe you shouldn't. Right, if you're in the regular store, I would assume that's not buying from a Ghana Mufursa, unless you know of it. But I was just reading an article last night about Crazy Eddie's. Used to be the big electronic stores back in the day in New York. Crazy Eddie, his prices are insane. Well, yeah, I went through what is going on at Crazy Eddie's, right? We don't talk about the Jewish guys from Brooklyn. But yeah, the prices really were insane. It was not. There was some stuff going on over there at Crazy Eddie's. So I don't know. You say Best Buy is not Crazy Eddie's. Yeah, it's coming up. But yes.
I don't know much about Amazon at all because I don't think I've ever purchased. But they must have policing and some. They're a massive organization. They must have a.
Yeah. So I looked into that too. There is some degree of policing that these sites themselves do. But a lot of it, it's no different than the airline case I told you. They get involved, but really they refer you, follow a police report, go to the real police. They're just monitoring the site. They just want, they want fists to fly on air.
So then there's government agencies that overlook.
Yeah, yeah.
There's always somebody looking.
I would like to end with a story. So I think we see today that when one is involved, it doesn't have to be buying the Green Vault's loot that was just made off in Germany. It's not buying Tom Brady's Super Bowl jersey. Just simple commerce that we do, buying things online, or especially if we're sellers, where we get our merchandise from, can very much come into these halachas of buying stolen goods. And people have to be careful. There's major yisurim involved. You have a hand in these things. And it's obviously something that one should try to avoid. Someone told me a story, and I tried to find the exact speech, but I didn't find the exact speech, but I found similar speeches. Rav Pam Zatzal, the big gedolim of last generation, this was a topic that he spoke about a lot. Honesty in business. He would get up at a good of conventions, and that would be constantly the theme of his speech. Honesty in business, honesty with any type of stealing, geneva, shtick. Don't get involved. He would speak about it. Time and time again. I'm not going to name for obvious reasons, but years ago he spoke in a certain Jewish community, and he gave a whole big speech about geneva and sure not to rip off government programs, and everything should be above board, and chas v'shalom, if someone does cheat, besides being tremendous avera, to be chil Hashem, and we all know that if the slang is, what it does it mean to Jew, if we live up to Shakespeare's portrayal of what a Jew is, that's not good. We're doing ourselves in, that caused tremendous anti-Semitism. Horrible, horrible thing. And Rav Pam gave a very impassioned, sworn speech about how the Torah, Titan Emes Yaakov, it's all about honesty. After he gave that speech, someone else got up, not sure how quickly after, hope it wasn't Tokhde Dibur, but someone else got up, said, you know, there are different shitas. We don't pass in Rav Pam's way. Oh. Rav Pam himself was quite upset, hurt. There aren't other shitas about this. This is the Torah, Derech Darchei Noam, the Torah is straight, and they're wrong. And he was very upset to hear that somebody chepered on what he said. It was reported to me that years later, after Rav Pam passed away, that same community was on the front pages of news stories all around the world for cheating with things that they shouldn't. I thought it was appropriate. They told me that Rav Pam's grandchildren published that speech and distributed it to every base medrash in that community. It's a shame we don't listen to the Torah the first time around. They have to get reminders. don't listen to Gedolim. But the concept of being careful when it comes to business, being careful when it comes to buying things. Titin Emes Yaakov, this week's parasha, we see Yaakov Avinu was the epitome of that. And Be'ezra Hashem, if we do the right thing, we do business the right way, as Yaakov Avinu said, Hashem was with me and I didn't lose out. Thank you very much.